the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear holding on my ear, the Son of God, these closes. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his song. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their sing, and melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his song. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Yes. 172? 172, first and the third one.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If I love thee, my Jesus, is now. Mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee, heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown. Ah, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, this now.
Huh? 364. 364 is because he lives.
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen.
Thank you, Colleen. Always beautiful. Welcome to the United Methodist Church House of Faith. What did I do?
Quiet.
Oh, okay. We have a few announcements. If you would please sign the red pads at the end of the pews, we like to count you and make sure that we have a few people that came and we know who you are. The happy birthdays this month are Mike Pastilli, Harold Hudson, Bill Klein, Lorene Munoz, Ann Mickel, Gary Barlow, and Audrey Parra. And let's see, the January newsletter is available out in the narthex. Pick one up if you haven't read it yet or haven't gotten one. It's also online. You can get it there. Excuse me. Today, the whiteboard Bible study will commence again, starting today at 11 to 11:45. These are always really good. Come and join us. Get a cup of coffee and a cup of tea and come on in and have some interesting stuff to give your little brain to work on and discussions. That's nice. And then also, Hearts Grow is still going on, second and fourth Sundays. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of the fellowship time. Their parents are welcome too. So, and that is it for announcements, unless anybody else has any announcements out there? Nope, okay. If you'll join me, my standing for the call to worship. Lead me, Lord, lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face.
For it is thou, Lord, thou, Lord only, that makest me dwell in safety.
Teach me, Lord, teach me truly how to live, that I may come to know thee.
And in thy presence serve thee with gladness, and sing songs of praise
to thy glory. And join us in the first hymn, Maker in Whom We Live, number 88, verses 1 through 3.
Salvation to the Lamb. Spirit of holiness, let all thy saints adore thy sacred energy and bless thine heart's renewing power. Not angel tongue can tell thy love's ecstatic high, the glorious joy unspeakable, the beautific sight.
Now is the time for passing of the peace. Hang around, turn around, wave to everybody. And you may be seated.
And we also welcome all those who have come to join us via Zoom. June and Joyce and Mary, welcome, welcome.
Now it's time for the passing of the peace and or your joys and concerns, excuse me. And if you have any, I'm going to start if you don't mind. My friend Lance Alford, whom I have asked for prayers in the past because he has stage 4 lung cancer, has had scans, and he also has it in his kidney, his liver, and it's not in his bones, so that's good. But today they're doing a brain scan, and hopefully things will turn out not so bad, but. And then this next week, he'll be going to the oncologist and finding what mode that they're going to be using to attack this. So prayers for Lance.
I need prayer for my 82-year-old uncle who lives in Arizona. Earlier this week, he got up to go to the dinner table and fell and hit his head and has been unconscious. Just a lot of prayer for him. And then also here in the city of Yucaipa, I don't know if any of you know the carpet place, Turner's Carpet. Larry Turner passed away this week. And then also we had a shooting at the sheriff's station. So pray for both of those families.
I'd also like prayer for my brother-in-law, Jeff Ludwig. He's been battling Parkinson's and cancer for quite a while, and he's been up and down and things like that, but I'd like prayer for him and my sister. I've been thinking about him a lot. And Pat Shores wanted everybody to know, so they don't worry about her, that she's in Palm Springs this Sunday and next Sunday. Her sister and niece got her some film festival tickets, so she's doing good things. So just, she's okay, she's happy. So prayers for safe travel back and forth for her.
Is there anyone on Zoom, if you want to raise your
hand? We have one in here.
Oh, sorry.
I really wish more people would come to the movies on Saturday. We had one of the best ones ever this week called Gigi and Nate, about a guy who became paraplegic and had a capuchin monkey as his service animal.
Bruce, thank you for filling in for Pat. I know Pat is a movie enthusiast, so she's really excited about it.
Anyone on Zoom, raise your hand, please.
No one? Okay, if you'll join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we sometimes feel lost and do not know where we are going. But you are our good shepherd and guide us with your righteousness. When dark clouds shadow our path, hope for tomorrow dissipates. But you strengthen our feet to walk on the right path and fill our hearts with the joy of your presence along the journey. Though sojourners we are, we trust that your mercy and faithfulness will lead us to the destination of your providence. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have a lot of things to pray for, especially for our loved ones, for this church and for our country and for our world. May we receive the assurance from the Lord once more that when we pray, nothing falls to the ground, but every prayer we have is being lifted up. And in God's opportune time, we will receive answers. Lord Jesus Christ, at the beginning of the new year, we know that there are a lot of uncertainties waiting for us. We do not know how our life will be unfold during this year. But standing before your presence always, we have this assurance that you will be there. Whenever we need your help, you will reach out unto us and help us. You will show us the way when we do not know which path to choose. And you will provide for us when we need your assistance. So, Lord, as we have done it in our past, we hold on to you because you are our never-failing, ever-present sustainer, provider. You are always there for us and with us, and you give us with what we need. So even though we face uncertainties, we thank you because we know that you will go this journey with us. And we are not alone, never alone on this journey. We can always reach out to you, and you are always there in our arms' reach. So we thank you for this privilege we have as we believe in you, as we trust in your power. And we pray, O Lord, that we will grow in faith during this year, that we will come closer to you all the more, that we will trust in everything we do, that we will be provided. So, Lord, we yield to you, yield to your power, yield to your plan you have for us. And we know that our life is no longer ours, but belongs to you. And you continue to use us to fulfill your will in our life, in the life of this church, in our communities, and in this world. So we ask you to continue to use us to glorify your name. And as we worship you this morning, remembering all the blessings we have received from you, we recommit ourselves to carry out your will, to glorify you and you only. So now we join our hearts and prayers together, praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now is time for the young at heart.
Today's story is The Wise Men Who Found Christmas, written by Raymond Arroyo, illustrated by Diane LaFayre. There are many tales of the wise men who followed the star to Bethlehem, but most are untrue. This is the way I remember it, and I was there. In the Arabian kingdom of Nabatea, atop a temple in the city of Petra, magi spotted a star blazing in the sky. While they all marveled at the sight, only three wise men among them debated what it could mean and what they should do about it. Melchior, the oldest of the magi, who was very ill, heard the Jewish prophecies of a Messiah to be born of a virgin. Even our own religion foresees a king who will raise the dead and destroy evil. Melchior gazed up to the heavens. The stars do not lie. He is coming, and I wish to see him while I can. We should follow the light. If royalty is involved, we should inform our king, said Balthazar, who had spent years at the royal court. Let him decide our path. Go to the king. Then Caspar, the youngest, looked at his star charts. Have you ever seen anything like this? The stars are aligning. We must make haste to discover the truth. They agreed to share their findings with King Aretas. The king of Nabatea received his magi the following night. They showed him how Jupiter and Saturn had come together in the constellation of Aries to create one brilliant star. What does it tell us? Aretas wondered. A great king is to be born in Israel, Melchior said. Now King Aretas had ties to old and dangerous King Herod of Israel. If a new prince were to be born in Israel, surely Herod would know. "Go to Herod as my representative," King Aretas ordered. "Bring this new king offerings from our land." To keep the peace, they would honor the prince with Nabatea's most precious goods, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. "We will follow the light," Melchior promised. "Go to the king," Balthasar added, "and make haste to discover the truth," Caspar said. By the time they had gathered their caravan and Melchior mounted his faithful horse, the star had disappeared from the sky. Confused and in darkness, the wise men galloped along trade routes they knew well, around the Dead Sea, past Bethlehem, and on to Jerusalem. But the ride was long, and old Melchior grew weary. Though he said nothing, his old bones plainly ached and his side stung with pain. After several days, the wise men arrived at the court of Herod the Great. Balthasar elegantly bowed. "Your Highness, we seek the newborn king of the Jews," he said. "I am the king of the Jews," Herod snapped. "There is no other." "There must be. We saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him," Melchior said. Herod was greatly troubled. "Bring me the priests and scribes," he shouted to his servants. "If a Messiah were to appear, where would he be born?" King Herod demanded. One priest came forward. "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then the jealous Herod had an idea. He whispered to the wise men, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, send me word that I," a cruel look flashed in his eyes, "that I too may go and worship him." The wise men nervously bowed and thanked the old king. Outside the palace, Caspar sighed. "How will we ever find the child?" "Perhaps we should go back to Nabatea," Balthasar suggested. Melchior felt lost. He hung his head in silence, a hand on his aching side. That's when Melchior's horse nudged his master's face heavenward. For in the sky, the star they had seen in the east rose before them. The old man yanked at his horse's reins. "The light! We will follow the light," he said. "Go to the newborn king?" Balthasar asked. "Yes," Caspar said, dashing ahead of the others. "Make haste to discover the truth." Once they reached the little town of Bethlehem, the wise men asked the townsfolk where the newborn king might be. "There is no king here," some said. "King?" another added. "Herod is our only king." Then a shepherd told them that one night, as he tended his sheep, angels had appeared in the sky above him. They told him that a savior had been born, a tiny baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, who the shepherd later saw with his own eyes. "Take us to the king," Balthasar begged. "I don't know where he is. It was months ago," the shepherd said. "But he is with us. The child lives." Melchior focused on the moving star blazing overhead. "The light will show us the way to the child. It will not fail us." And though members of the caravan grumbled, the wise men pressed forward. The star led them through dark streets and narrow alleys and then stopped suddenly. Before them, a long tail of starlight touched the top of one small house. Melchior's heart raced even as his side throbbed with pain. Had they really found the newborn Messiah? Balthasar frowned in bewilderment. How could this humble home hold a king? But Caspar stomped out an excited little dance, grabbed at the cask of frankincense from one of the camels. Then Melchior noticed something odd. He assumed that the radiant beam of starlight spilled down from above, but now he realized that the light actually shot up to the star from an opening in the roof of the house. "Follow the light," Melchior murmured, clutching at his side and running to the little house. Inside, the wise men found the one they sought, a newborn child in a cradle. Mary, the child's mother, welcomed them. "You have come from the east. He has been awaiting your arrival." For the first time in his long life, Melchior was speechless. The glow of the child filled him with awe. "Go to the king," Balthasar urged him. "Make haste to discover the truth," Caspar whispered. Mary then placed the babe in Melchior's arms. In a hush, the old man told the child the things held deep in his heart, his desire to see this king whose star he'd witnessed at his rising, of their long and confusing journey and of the illness that weakened him. When he returned the baby to the cradle, Melchior's face shone. "Are you all right?" Caspar asked Melchior as they departed. Melchior touched his side. "I have no pain. The child has healed me." "What wonders we have seen this night," Balthazar marveled. "Should we go tell King Herod?" "Not yet," Melchior said. "We will camp here tonight and then proceed to Jerusalem in the morning." And as they slept, Melchior, Balthazar, and Caspar dreamed the same dream. A bright star appeared before them and transformed into an angel. "Be not afraid. I have been with you from the beginning," it announced. "If you return to Herod, you will place yourselves and the child Jesus in great danger. Go home another way." In the morning, each wise man did as he was told and headed home on an entirely new path. For the rest of his days, Melchior continued to follow the light and spread it to others. Balthazar no longer cared about the royal courts of the world, but never stopped urging those he met to go to the king, the smallest he had ever worshipped. And deep into his old age, Caspar, with haste, passed the truth he had discovered on to any who would listen. And the light the wise men found in Bethlehem centuries ago shines still for all who seek it. I should know. I saw it myself and carried the tale. The end. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Isaiah 9:2. Follow the light, go to the king, and make haste to discover the truth. May we all shine the light of Jesus everywhere we go. Amen.
Now join in the next hymn, which is number 142, "If Thou But Suffer God to Guide Thee."
If thou but suffer God to guide thee, and hope in God through all thy ways, God will give strength whatever betide and be thee through all evil days. Who trust in God's unchanging love, builds on the rock that not can move. Only be still and wait, cause leisure in cheerful hope with heart content to take whatever thy mock pleasure and all discerning love has sent. We know in most want unknown, for we are called to be God's own. Sing, pray, and keep God's ways unswerving, so do thine own part faithfully. And trust God's worth, though undeserving, thou shalt find the truth for thee. God never yet forsook a need, a soul that trusted God indeed.
The scripture lesson today is Isaiah 55:1-9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, that and you may that have no money, come buy and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. And all those who have come to worship via Zoom as well. I think I see Bill on the Zoom as well. Welcome. Very nice. I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit you individually and speak to your heart and touch you like no one can. I see very interesting things in the bulletin this morning. You know, when I prepare, I don't communicate the message. I don't communicate with others. And, you know, it's the message that God placed in me in my heart, and I work on it and deliver the message. And it goes well with the children's message that Deb prepared. And you will hear from Young later on. She has prepared a song that just fits perfectly with the message that I have prepared. So this is a sort of a confirmation to me that the message that I'm about to hear is something that God speaks to each and every one of us. This story is about a man named Philip who inherited $10 million. It's not my story. The will provided that he had to accept it either in Chile or Brazil. He chose Brazil. Unhappily, it turned out that in Chile, he would have received his inheritance in the land on which uranium, gold, and silver had just been discovered. Once in Brazil, he had to choose between receiving his inheritance in coffee or nuts. He chose the nuts. Too bad. The bottom fell out of the nut market, and the coffee went up to $3 a pound wholesale, unroasted. Poor Philip lost everything he had to his name. He went out and sold his gold watch for the money he needed to fly home. It seems that he had enough for a ticket to either New York or Boston. He chose Boston. When the plane for New York taxied up, he noticed it was a brand new 747 jumbo jet with red carpets and chic people and wine-popping hostesses. The plane for Boston then arrived. It was a 1928 Ford Trimotor with a sway back, and it took a full day to get up the ground. It was filled with crying children and tethered goats. Over the Andes, one of the engines fell off. Our man, Philip, made his way up to the captain and said, "I am a jinx on this plane. Let me out if you want to save your lives. Give me a parachute." The pilot agreed, but added, "Over this plane, anybody who bails out must wear two chutes." So Philip jumped out of the plane, and as he fell dizzily through the air, he tried to make up his mind which ripcord to pull. Finally, he chose the one on the left. It was rusty, and the wire pulled loose. So he then pulled the other handle. This chute opened, but its shroud lines snapped. In desperation, the poor fellow cried out, "Saint Francis, save me!" A great hand from heaven reached down and seized the poor fellow by the wrist and let him dangle in midair. Then a gentle but inquisitive voice asked, "Saint Francis Xavier or Saint Francis of Assisi?" Brian would understand the Catholic saints. I do not know the ending of the story, but I'm glad that it wasn't me. Have you ever regretted a decision or decision you made in your past? Once we choose a path, we cannot turn our clock back. We wish we had altered our course, but we cannot. America's famed poet, Robert Frost, in the 20th century, wrote a poem about it, with which we are very familiar. And let me read it for you. The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that the passing there had won them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. He tried to discern which path would be a better option. He examined the condition of the two roads and see which road is traveled more, but cannot see it all the way. He chooses one and think about coming back. He would not return to the fork and may regret the choice he makes. This poem basically describes the dilemma everyone faces when he or she makes a decision. People can see what lies ahead within the range of their vision, but they cannot see their path all the way and would suffer from the consequences of their decisions. Now, the Magi would have faced a similar circumstance when returning to their country. They traveled over 600 miles on rugged terrain from Persia to Bethlehem. It was a tiresome journey, but worth it. After fulfilling their mission, they would have wished that their return travel would be easy. An easy path was, of course, a familiar route. They learned of shelters to get rest, places to replenish supplies, and springs where they and their camels could drink water from. on a familiar path, they could even develop a shortcut. However, God intervened and told them to take a different route for return. So now they had two choices of travel. Should they travel on an accustomed path or discover a new one? Their preference would have been the one on which they had already traveled, but God directed them to take an inexperienced one. In the ancient days, international travel was not something to be excited about. Not many people traveled outside their home country. Not good accommodation was available, and means of travel were very uncomfortable and wearisome. The Magi would not have wanted to suffer from inconveniences traveling on a new route again. Now think about the traveling. Both the Old Testament and New Testament have more stories of God's chosen people traveling on new path. God told Abraham to leave his homeland to go to Canaan, of which Abraham had no knowledge. It's like almost the same distance that the Magi had traveled and same direction that Abraham took, but he had no idea where he was going. Joseph was sold to merchant who took him to Egypt. Joseph learned later that God allowed it to save Joseph's family from famine in Canaan. Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt into a desert. God used Joshua to lead Israel back to Canaan. When Israel abandoned their faith in God, God exiled them to the neighboring nations. As a result, people in those nations learned of the God of Israel. In all these, God constantly broke geographical boundaries and relocated his people. It was what happened at the first Christmas. God broke the geographical boundary for salvation by bringing the Magi from a Gentile nation. The Apostle Paul became the pioneer to take the gospel outside Israel. Today, the gospel does not see geographical boundaries. We tend to abide within our own geographical boundaries, so-called comfort zones. But God often leads us into new paths and locations outside our comfort zones. So that's exactly, I mean, it wasn't just taking, the new path in terms of that abstract concept. It was literally, physically taking the new path that God was leading his people to. During the new year, we would arrive at many folks to choose new path as the Magi and people of faith in the Bible did. Using all our intellectual tools and advice from others, we may think of specific ways that appear suitable for us. We surely do not want our decision to turn out to be the opposite of what we desire. And there is one good example of that. And that is Putin, and I'd like to share you about the wrong decision he made. Putin's, by a human calculation, he invaded Ukraine and he thought it was a good decision, but it turned out to be a wrong decision. His aggression toward his neighbor in the West seemed workable for him. He calculated that gas and oil from Russia could become one of the best war weapons, especially during this winter. So he cut the gas supplies back in September, and the gas prices in Europe skyrocketed. Putin expected that the European countries could not survive the winter without gas supply from Russia, and they would come and beg him for gas and give in. Was his calculation correct? It wasn't. The following is an article that the LA Times carried yesterday, January 7th. And let me read that for you. Britain had its hottest year on record in 2022. Since comparable data began to be compiled in 1884, unlike the US and Canada, which have been hit by bitter cold and snowstorm, much of Europe is experiencing unreasonably warm weather. The average temperature last year in France was above 57.2 degrees, making it the hottest year since the weather reading began there in 1900. Switzerland's Meteorological Service said that the nation's annual average temperature of 45.3 degrees was by far the highest value since the measurement began in 1864. Spain also had its hottest year since records started in 1961, according to the National Weather Agency, EMET, with the average daily temperature of 59.7 degrees. I mean, it's almost like Southern California. In Germany, the year ended with the warmest New Year's Eve on record, with the temperature reaching 68 degrees in the south of the country. Belarus, Belgium, and the Czech Republic, Latvia, Poland, and the Netherlands all set national record daily highs for December 31st or January 1st. As 2023 begins, many lows and medium altitude ski resorts in Alps and Pyrenees and other European mountain ranges are experiencing a lack of snow. In Bosnia, spring-like weather has foiled even artificial snow. Either it's too warm to make it, or it melts soon after being spread out onto sky slopes. Along the slope in Bjelašnia near Sarajevo on Wednesday, snow accumulation amounted to little more than several patches on an otherwise grassy landscape. Have you seen a picture of the house in a mountain in Alps? It's like, you know, it was covered with snow, used to be, and then the other side, exactly the same location, shows no snow but grass. In conclusion, Putin's conventional wisdom failed badly. Why is it last year? It was a record hard. We can tell that God is not on Putin's side at all. How do we choose the right path, which we will not regret later? At watershed moments, we experience a conflict of interest. Our senses may disagree with what God intends for our future. One path over the other may seem better to our eyes, but may not be good in God's eyes. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." The way that leads to death sounds like the narrow gate that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." After encountering the Messiah in Bethlehem, the faith entered into Magi. They were wise. That's why they were called wise men. But they did not rely on their wisdom, but on God's word to them to choose their path. So the Magi took a new route, a narrow path, by faith. We call their journey a faith journey. May we choose the path of faith, even when other route may seem fair to our eyes. For we should walk by faith, not by sight. Amen.
Now is the time for our tithes and offerings. As you all know, there's a plate in the back in the narthex, and thank you for bringing and continuing to give to the church. We're now going to be blessed with some beautiful music from Young Char.
Stranger here within a foreign land, my home is far away upon a golden strand, ambassador to be of realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my king. This is the message that I bring. A message angels fain would sing. Oh, be ye reconciled, thou says my Lord and King. Oh, be ye reconciled to God. This is the King's command that all men everywhere repent and turn away from sin's seductive snare, that all we will obey with him shall reign forever. And that's my business for my King. This is the message that I bring. A message angels fain would sing. Oh, be ye reconciled, thus is my Lord and King. Oh, be ye reconciled to God. My home is brighter far than Sharon's rosy plain. Eternal life and joy throughout its vast domain. My sovereign bids me tell how mortals there may dwell. And that's my business for my King. This is the message that I bring. A message angels fain would sing. Oh, be ye reconciled, thus is my Lord and King. Oh, be ye reconciled to God.
Praise. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Gracious Lord Jesus, we stand before you and humbly acknowledge that we belong to you, and everything we have belong to you as well. We give you this offering of thanksgiving, for you have filled our life with your abundant blessings, and we recommit ourselves to carry out your mission in this world today. So continue to bless each and every one of us, that we may be your disciples in the world through the ministries and mission of this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our hymn is number 580, Lead On, O King Eternal.
Much has come, henceforth in field of conquest, thy tent shall be a home. Though days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweat of men apeace. For not with sword loud clashing, nor roll of stirring drum, with deeds of love and mercy, the heavenly kingdom come. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears, for gladness break like morning wherever thy face appear. Thy cross is lifted over us, we journey in his light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
Let us pray. Lord, you have spoken unto us through your scriptures once more, and remind us that we walk this life journey by faith and not by sight. So, Lord, send us with the blessing of faith that we have found in you, and may we continue to grow in faith so that by faith in you, we may carry out your mission in the world. And may we choose and make right decisions by faith, even when our path may appear to be rugged and filled with crosses. For we are your disciples, committing once more that we will follow your lead. So, Lord, send us forth with this commitment and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
in peace. Never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. All the world can see.